Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
Good morning and welcome. Friday the 22nd of May. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have you company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. A top of 18 in the city of Sydney, 16 out west, only 21 in Brisbane. We'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. No matter where you are, the number is the same, 131873. Email me at theRayHadley.com or 2GB.com and now access information from the program by going to facebook.com/TheRayHadleyMorningShow. Now, the weather in Sydney is absolutely ordinary. Very, very heavy rain is falling and winds as well. Drivers are being urged to slow down and put their headlights on as heavy rain and strong winds hit the city. I just had a look at the rain radar. And it's going to be there for quite some time. The severe weather warning that came in much earlier this morning in place for Sydney, the Hunter and the Illawarra. Rob Sharp from Weather Zone says the storm isn't going anywhere for the next few hours. So while we're on air, please put your headlights on. I'm in Brisbane today and it's absolutely howling a gale outside here as well. No rain, however. But in Sydney, absolutely bucketing down as we speak. Well, Paul Whittaker, the editor of the Daily Telegraph, has done it again. The story does feature in Queensland as well, but more prominently in New South Wales. Opposition leader Bill Shorten is being depicted as a Julia Gillard clone. And they've gone better than that. Jesus, an ugly woman. Bill Shorten, they've digitally altered the image and put Julia's hairdo on his head with her glasses. And what they say via Daniel Mears is Bill Shorten is emerging as Julia Gillard reincarnated, with Labor poised to take key Gillard policies to the next election, including a price on carbon and softer boat policy. Labor's powerful left faction is pressuring Mr. Shorten to soften his stance on national security and ending the controversial turn back policy that stopped the legal boats. Of course, it stopped them. Former New South Wales Labor Treasurer Michael Costa, who's ripped into the Queensland government recently, said last night Mr. Shorten had taken Labor way too far to the left. Mr. Costa's comments also echo UK Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister Tony Blair's warning to the then Labor leader Ed Miliband before the British election that was decimated this month's election. He said you need to peel it back a bit. Mr. Costa said Mr. Shorten was at risk of becoming the Ed Miliband of Australian politics. He's moved the party way to the left. No point pandering to the Greens. They should bite the bullet and not do preference deals with the Greens. And by the way, speaking of the Greens and the Labor Party and unions, the former union heavyweight Matt Thistlethwaite was on Sky News last night saying there will be no returning, as far as they're concerned, to turning back the boats. Well, I'm afraid that, Matt, that's how it worked, mate. That's how we stop the boats. That's how we stop the 50,000 people that arrived under the watch of your government, now your opposition. Anyway, I must say, when I arrived in Brisbane yesterday afternoon, I was delighted to hear that Daniel Morcombe's killer will stay behind bars after the court up here, the Court of Appeal, ruled the elaborate and undercover police sting that elicited a chilling confession was legitimate. The Morcombe's family dogged pursuit of justice for their son, Daniel, who was abducted from a Sunshine Coast bus stop just before Christmas 2003, is finally at an end. Well, is it? I was listening to 4BC yesterday afternoon, and his lawyers came out and suggested that they may, in fact, appeal to the High Court. Well, first of all, they've got to seek leave to appeal to the High Court. They can't automatically appeal to the High Court. But I know, and I don't even know the lawyer involved that was, I heard on the radio, but he is Cowan's lawyer, Brett Peter Cowan's lawyer. He's only there for 20 years anyway, should be there for life, but the life in Queensland means 20 years at the top end. Although I do know that the sentencing judge told people they were on the side of caution if ever they thought about releasing him. I think from memory, Justice Roslyn Atkinson kept his file, reminding the parole board he's a liar who will say anything to better his own situation, and she wants them to remember that when they think about parole in the next 19 to 20 years. But the lawyer came out, and look, I think his name is Tim Meehan. He says that his client's happy to have a decision. Our client wanted the appeal to be delivered expeditiously, but above all else, properly. And then he said Cowan was open to taking the case to the High Court to argue the legality of the sting used to gain the confession. So does that mean that Mr. Meehan accepts that his client is a murderous pedophile? But because there's a technical reason that he should be freed? I mean, you see, this is where I have a problem with barristers and lawyers. Our client wants to argue the legality of the sting used to gain the confession. Well, the Court of Appeal in Queensland said it's legal, not a problem, not a problem whatsoever. Does Mr. Meehan accept that his client is a murderous pedophile who's been before the courts time after time after time, and if the courts had done their job in the first place, he wouldn't be free to do what he did to that poor little boy? And I know that, you know, everyone's entitled to a defence, but where do you draw the line? Where do you actually say, well, look, I know he's a murderous pedophile and he's a danger to the community if released, but I'm going to do my best to get him out because those coppers shouldn't have tricked him into making that confession. The Court of Appeal said yesterday in Queensland, in detailing the reasons, that the undercover police posing as a criminal gang was not an abusive process. Justice Margaret McMurdo said he chose to make detailed confessions to the offences involving Daniel so as to obtain a watertight false alibi to use the alibi to exonerate himself at the inquest when recalled. And this would enable him to remain in the criminal gang and participate in the pending big job, which would get him $100,000. She said it was unlikely Cowan would have confessed if he'd known the true identity of the undercover police, but they were not exercising coercive power of the state. He believed he was among criminal friends. He was free to leave their company at any time. They were not threatening or violent towards him. And in truth, they had not committed offences with him. She said she was not persuaded the trial judge's decision to include the confessions amounted to a miscarriage of justice. Well, thank God she decided that, but still we go on, and they're talking about going to the High Court now. As I said, that's not a fait accompli. They've got to seek leave to appeal. I note as well that the federal government has blocked an appeal, and they're being accused of kowtowing to the big multinational companies by Andrew Twiggy Forrest. Now, he lashed out at the federal government's decision not to hold an inquiry into the nation's iron ore oversupply issue. He had lobbied the government to act, claiming that BHP Billiton and Rio Tinto were deliberately forcing the iron ore price to fall and therefore killing smaller companies. The Treasurer said the inquiry would not proceed, and that got Mr. Forrest jumping up and down. It appears the intense lobbying and wishes of the multinational mining giants has prevented a formal inquiry. Well, one could take the other view from Mr. Forrest's point of view, that had they succumbed to his request, they would have been kowtowing to him to have an inquiry. And then they would have been criticised by the other side of the fence. So at the end of the day, I guess they did what they thought was fair and reasonable. And they won't be having it. George Pell, again in the news today, the Catholic bishop taunted victims of sexual abuse, telling them they were destroying the church, the Royal Commission heard. This is not about Mr. Pell or Cardinal Pell. Andrew Collins said yesterday Bishop Paul Bird told him the church was facing bankruptcy because of compensation demands by victims. Mr. Collins said during the 2013 conversation with the Ballarat bishop, he was told the church would endure long after he was dead. Bishop Bird told us we were intent on destroying his church, said Mr. Collins, who had been seeking compensation for past injuries and future ongoing medical costs. He was abused by four different men at the Ballarat schools and churches. It came as Cardinal George Pell was again a central figure in the Commission's inquiry, with pressure mounting him to front the inquiry. Victim Paul Tatchell said Pell had to take responsibility for the damage done to hundreds of children as Australia's most senior Catholic. Another victim, who can't be named, said he was inconceivable Pell didn't know about the widespread abuse of children in Ballarat. If children from other totally separate primary schools in the area knew what was going on at that school, I can't accept that either Bishop Mulkerns or Father Pell didn't know. The Cardinal has not yet been asked to appear at the Royal Commission hearing in Victoria, as flagged it will seek a formal response to allegations raised during evidence. He issued a statement saying he would refute claims he tried to bribe a victim to keep that victim quiet. He also dismissed another victim's claims he helped move pedophile priest Gerald Ridsdale between parishes. The one thing that I can't remove from my memory bank is the sight of George Pell walking into court supporting this pedophile whose victims number not 10, not hundreds, but thousands. I can't get that from my mind. And for that, George Pell will have to answer to a greater authority. Now, there's an incredible series of photographs in the Daily Telegraph today about rock fishermen. The pictures show a man dicing with death at Shelley Beach at a headland in Sydney. He's seen waist-deep in swirling white water before he loses his footing and disappears from view. With no sign of a life jacket, amazingly, the man manages to regain his feet as the water crashes around him, and then, would you believe, he carries on fishing. It's taken by a Manly resident named Suzanne Lawson last Saturday, the day before another man was swept to his death at Clontarf, not far away. Police have called for mandatory use of life jackets by rock fishermen. I've written about this in the Daily Telegraph today. I cannot for the life of me understand why the state government in New South Wales hasn't made it mandatory. You can have a look online if you can't get a copy of the paper. And there's the bloke fishing. Next thing you can see is head with a hat on it. And he somehow gets out of that water, climbs back on and casts the line, and off he goes again. It is bizarre in the extreme. Absolutely bizarre in the extreme. You just can't understand why, given what he knew about where he was and the conditions, and one would think that he wasn't there for the first time, why he didn't simply get out of there. Now, I've spoken often in New South Wales about police pursuits, and I'll talk about it again today in relation to Queensland. I've said before, the restrictive rules in Queensland need to be addressed, and the police commissioner needs to stop being a bureaucrat and become a copper again. You'll remember the last time I spoke about him, there was a 154-kilometre chase back in February of this year through southeastern Queensland. That chase only stopped when the bloke entered New South Wales, where the laws aren't as restrictive as they are in Queensland, and they caught up with him. Now, when that happened, the police commissioner up here, Ian Stewart, came onto this radio station and denied there was a no-pursuit policy. He said, what we have in this state, we believe, is probably the best pursuit policy of any jurisdiction in that we ask our people to constantly reassess the risk to community. The moment you start pursuing a vehicle or motorcycle or whatever, you're actually doubling the risk because no longer is there one car, there's two. Now, you try and figure this out if you're a copper in New South Wales or a copper in Queensland or just a member of the public. Pursuit policy principles in Queensland. One, pursuit driving is inherently dangerous. Two, officers should consider alternative options. What's that? What, just get out of the car and say, stop! Stop, police! Pursuits should only be conducted where justified. Officers must be at all times consider the risks of conducting pursuits. Officers who determine that it's unjustifiable to conduct a pursuit will be supported by management and senior officers. Officers who determine it is justifiable to conduct a pursuit and undertake appropriate risk assessments will be similarly supported. Oh, that's good to know. Well, there's two coppers that aren't being supported today, Commissioner. Justification for a pursuit. Pursuits are permitted only where officers have a reasonable belief that an occupant of the vehicle, one, will create an imminent threat to life or has committed an act of unlawful homicide or attempted murder, has issued threats to kill any person, has committed an indictable offence prior to an attempt, an imminent need to apprehend a person considered justifiably given the risk of pursuing. Well, of course, we've got kids doing burnouts in police yards in Townsville because the coppers can't chase them, because it looks to me like you in Queensland have a public servant as a police commissioner. So to the story today, you remember these lunatics going through the streets of Gold Coast. Let me tell you what they did. These two people who have been arrested and put before a court, the bloke, the 19-year-old bloke and the 28-year-old girl, charged with a string of offences. Using a tomahawk to try and rob people. Anyway, two police officers, a senior sergeant and a senior constable, both with long experience, they're not wet behind the ear coppers, they've been around for a fair while. Well, they've been stood down from duty because of a wild car chase and where shots were fired. The 47-year-old senior sergeant, one of two experienced officers, stood down after the 2.5-hour pursuit of the two lunatics on ice. an internal investigation, allegations of engaging in unauthorised pursuit, driving or causing a police vehicle to be driven in a manner to endanger other road users. It's another bizarre attempt to stifle police catching criminals. Bizarre. And there is now a debate, and I'll talk to the Queensland Police Union officials today about this. They tried to rob people at Pacific Pines, a service station. They used a tomahawk to rob and bash a taxi driver at Helens Vale on the Gold Coast. Now, the coppers chased them, 160k. They went on the wrong side of the road, not the coppers, the people they're chasing. Police and civilian vehicles were rammed. The two officers were injured. The tomahawk thrown out of the window of the getaway car before road spikes and police helicopter ended the mayhem. The 19-year-old or the 28-year-old, the ICE addict, were charged with a string of offences. The police union says the union fully supports the officers involved. Well, I support the officers involved as well. And it's the sooner, and this bloke was appointed the commissioner in Queensland by the Newman government, I think in November 2012 or thereabouts, they came to power in March of 2012. And it appears to me, in New South Wales, we don't have a public servant as a police commissioner. We've got a copper, Andrew Scipione. Up here, you've got a bloke who's a public servant. He's a police officer all his life, but he's a public servant. He doesn't want to support the coppers. He wants the crooks to be able to get away. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. In sport, Billy Slater battling a shoulder injury ahead of Origin 1 on Wednesday night. Dane Gagai comes from Newcastle into the Maroons camp. Now, I don't quite understand this. Parramatta fined over $500,000 for breaches of the salary cap. I'm at a loss to understand how the NRL boss Dave Smith could suggest it wasn't cheating, but rather mismanagement. As for suggestions, it's not the current board's fault. What a load of rubbish. It's a combination of them and their previous board. They came to power in 2013, this board. They signed off, I think Spagnuolo's board went in March of 2013. They signed off on then-coach Ricky Stewart's cull of players. They thought it was good. Most people thought it was good as well. But they should have known all those players had to have their contracts either paid out or topped up if they went to another club. And it's $400,000 there. Then they signed off on salary cap documents, both in 2013 and last year, either knowing they were over the cap or blissfully ignorant of the facts. Then they were warned numerous times over the past 12 months they had a cap problem. What did they do? Nothing. It's much more than mismanagement. And I think they should have points deducted leading into next season. Be it stupidity or apathy, they've been tickled with a feather by the National Rugby League. And you can call me suspicious if you like. But how come this is revealed 2 weeks after the board elections? Why not 3 weeks ago? Was a deal done by the NRL and the board to sit on this until now? It's not right. Parramatta should not be given a rails run. And just think about this, you Parramatta fans, if you think I'm being tough. It was done on the back of failure on the field. Imagine where they would have finished if they'd adhered to the salary cap. It's just simply embarrassing. In the extreme, it really, really is embarrassing. You can't believe it. That, you know, we have them performing so poorly and they cheated to get there. They cheated. Just beyond anyone's belief. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And there's other sport to get through as well. I'll go through the A-League and the AFL and the Rugby Union and do all that and tell you what's happening in the shortened round of Rugby League as well, because we've got State of Origin, so there are plenty of teams having the bye this weekend. We'll do that through the course of the morning. Plenty for us to talk about. 131873. Email me at either rayhadley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au and get podcast videos and program content by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Twenty-four and a half minutes past nine.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300-USED-CARS.
M4 still under speed around the Cumberland Highway. As you make your way down to James Roos Drive, at Castle Hill, a power failure. Traffic lights are blacked out, so take it easy. Drummoyne, Victoria Road, still under speed all the way into the city over the Anzac Bridge. At Camperdown, a smash on Parramatta Road. Lane 3 westbound at Pyrmont Bridge Road. At Mascot, we still have heavy traffic on Southern Cross Drive as you make your way up towards the Moore Park area. At Fairford Road is slow northbound from Canterbury Road onto Stacey Street. And Port Macquarie, work on traffic lights, Oxley Highway and Finn Lane Drive. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Kids and stylish things don't mix. Until now, introducing the new Citroen C4 Picasso. For a limited time, comes with a $1,500 safari pack. For terms and conditions, visit citroen.com.au.
It's good to have your company. Ray Hadley in the morning on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations across Australia, 25 past nine. Now, this really bad weather in the Sydney Basin, I've just had a look at it again. They sent a weather warning through this morning. Thunderstorms, heavy rain, which may lead to flash flooding, are possible for the Illawarra Forecast District. It's because of a low-pressure system deepening over the western Tasman Sea, and it's impacting right now on Sydney, the Illawarra, and the Hunter, including the Central Coast. Dangerous surf conditions will also develop, so stay away from that for sure and certain. I'll get to the other weather in a moment or two, but I said sport. South Sydney play Parramatta tonight, the continuous call team in action with David Morrow, Mark Levy and Daryl Broman and Mark Riddell. Tomorrow we'll be there from midday out of the studio. At 4:30 the boys will be out at Campbelltown and they'll bring you the West Tigers North Queensland game. There's only one game tomorrow night and that comes up at 7:30. And then there's a game from Canberra, the Raiders and Canterbury. No Origin players, of course, are participating in these games. David Morrow, Daryl Broman and Bob Fulton, Mark Riddell and Mark Levy there for that. And there's a game on Monday night, Newcastle take on Brisbane. That's at Hunter Stadium in Newcastle, that one there. We've spoken about the salary cap breaches in detail. Dane Gagai, just repeating, as I told you earlier, is into the Queensland camp, Billy Slater. And there's a doubt about Inglis and Hodges too. They didn't train yesterday, but they'll be okay. It's typical leading into it, just a bit of, showmanship from both camps. Oh, he's crook, he's got the flu, he's on a drip, he won't play. They'll play. Greater Western Sydney play Adelaide. This is tomorrow, Saturday at 10 past 2 in Sydney. Sydney, the Swans travel to Hawthorn to play Hawthorn at the MCG. And Brisbane on Sunday at Etihad to Essendon at 10 past 1. Super 15, the Reds and the Sharks. That's 7:40 tonight. That's Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. The Waratahs at ANZ tomorrow night at 7:40. Hope the weather improves for them against the Crusaders. The Brumbies have the bye and the Rebels travel to South Africa. Now, good win by the Matildas, the Australian women's soccer team, on their way to the World Cup. They had a... 11-0 trouncing of Vietnam in front of 4,200 fans. And some basketball news. The Townsville team have been cleared to play in the 2015-16 NBL season. The Crocs board have regained control of the deed of company arrangement and subsequently received NBL approval to re-enter the competition, but no return of the Wollongong Hawks at the moment. Now, shocking weather in Sydney. Rain, wind, 16 degrees out in the western suburbs, 18 on the coast. Penrith 16, Liverpool 16, Richmond, Parramatta, Campbelltown 16, so pretty cold. Rain again tomorrow, partly cloudy on Sunday, they tell us. In Brisbane, mostly sunny 21, but very windy as I look out the back window. The airport 21, Ipswich 21, down on the Gold Coast 22, the Sunshine Coast 23. Possible showers tomorrow and Sunday, clearing by Monday, they're telling us now. Canberra morning shower at 2 and 14, so quite cold through some of these places in New South Wales that take the program. Port Macquarie rain, Kempsey rain, Coffs Harbour rain. They're not training there today, the New South Wales side anyway. 20 degrees or 21 degrees. Wagga Wagga, a maximum of 18 with cloud clearing. Sunny in Griffith and 20. Now here it gets cold. Goulburn showers 11 for 2GN listeners. Cooma, shower at 2, maximum 11. Jindabyne shower at 2, 9 the maximum. Orange shower at 2, 11. Bathurst shower at 2, 12. Lithgow showers, maximum 9. Barrel Southern Highland showers, 9. Mildura mostly sunny and only 17 degrees there. In Queensland, only a couple of areas that take the program facing rain. Maryborough, Harvey Bay, two of them. Possible morning showers 24 and 23. Townsville cloud clearing 30. Charters Towers mostly sunny 28. Toowoomba windy partly cloudy 14. Kingaroy partly cloudy 17. Charterville partly cloudy 17. The Isa and Cloncurry sunny and 24 the maximum. Longreach sunny 21. Emerald sunny 24. Roma 18. Wallumbilla the same. Dalby partly cloudy 16. St George cloudy 17. Maybe some rain for Gundawindi, they're telling me, in 17. And partly cloudy for Cunnamulla and 18 degrees. It's 9:29. Ray Hadley in the morning on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations right across the network. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Brad says, a question, if you don't mind. I drive a truck, very nice. During the day whilst driving, I like to listen to your program. Do you know why I get so much interference? Well, depends on what model truck it is, mate. Can't you go to the FM band? No, Brad, you see, we're licensed to broadcast on the AM band. Some of the stations we are licensed to broadcast on the FM band that I've mentioned before, and they, of course, include 2GZ FM at Orange and the station up on Maryborough Harvey Bay's FM and Sun Raysia down there, Mildura FM. But for Sydney, if that's where you are, and I suspect that's where you are, or Brisbane, or 2CC, we're licensed only to broadcast on the AM band. We can't just arbitrarily say, oh, we'd like to be on the FM band. Digital radio might solve your problems down the track, but I'm sorry, at the moment we can't help you. Mike, g'day.
Hi, how you going, Ray?
Good, Mike. What can we talk about?
Mate, I just want to talk about these lawyers that represent these pedophiles.
Yes.
How can someone in their right mind do that? Like, someone with the human morals and you know what I mean? How can someone do something like that?
Well, Mike, look, it's the system of justice we have, and people are entitled to a defence. We have to be careful because we can't impugn lawyers' integrity, but what I was talking about specifically in relation to Mr. Meehan, the defence lawyer for this creature Cowan, he said our client wanted the appeal to be delivered expeditiously, which it was, but above all else, properly. They're then taking it to the High Court to argue the legality of the sting used to gain a confession. Now, I think we'd have to accept that Mr. Meehan is doing his best to defend his client, but I take it that Mr. Meehan thinks that Mr. Cowan's guilty. And that's where I have a problem, and I guess you have a problem as well, that when you know your client's guilty of a horrendous murder of a 13-year-old boy and yet you continue to fight for him, I guess we all scratch our head. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon. As I mentioned earlier, two Queensland police officers have been stood down over their role in a police chase that saw a man arrested for allegedly being involved in armed robberies using a tomahawk, hitting a cab driver on the head. Earlier this week, I spoke in some detail about this pursuit on the Gold Coast and the alleged crimes that sparked it. Police were looking for a man who allegedly threatened a Pacific Pine service station worker with a tomahawk early on Sunday morning. Half an hour later, the man allegedly assaulted and robbed a taxi driver at Helensvale. The driver taken to Gold Coast Hospital with head injuries. That night, police spotted the man wanted in a Land Cruiser at Surfers Paradise. The man and woman in the vehicle allegedly evaded police for 2 hours, reaching high speeds, dodging tyre spikes and driving on the wrong side of the road. It's alleged they rammed police vehicles before crashing their Land Cruiser into a fence. 19-year-old Joel Gillard was arrested, while 28-year-old Sarah Jane Boyd was found 2 days later. Both have appeared in court this week. They've been remanded in custody. But would you believe the two senior officers involved, one a senior sergeant, I think the other a senior constable, who were injured and forced to defend themselves with their sidearms during the pursuit, have now been stood down? The senior constable and the senior sergeant are the subjects of a disciplinary investigation to determine if they engaged in an unauthorised pursuit, drove or caused a police motor vehicle to be driven in a manner likely to endanger other road users. The Queensland Police Union says this is a damn disgrace, and the President, Ian Leavers, is on the line. G'day, Ian.
Good morning, Ray.
It is a disgrace. We got a public servant as a commissioner in Queensland, do we?
Oh, Ray, this is an absolute disgrace, and it shows a lack of leadership from the police commissioner on this. We could have very well have had a murdered police officer here, and he would have been the very person standing in the front seat of the church mourning. But what these police have done, they knew that these people were criminals. They were out to commit other crimes. What was on their mind that if they did not apprehend and stop these people, that innocent people could be killed or seriously injured. So what have we done now? Focus on the actions of the police who are acting in good faith, and we're going to discipline them, stand them down, and the humiliation with that is disgraceful. It sends a message to all police in Queensland, if you do your job, we're going to come after you with a big stick, and we're going to penalise you and publicly humiliate you. And that is exactly what the commissioner has done. He needs to step up and show leadership. I'm disgusted. He should be reinstated forthwith. because I know what the public want. They want the police to go out and apprehend these people and put them behind bars where they belong.
Ian, I've spoken before, because coppers at Townsville have contacted me, about young blokes doing burnouts outside the police station, safe in the knowledge that no one can chase them.
That's exactly right. They've gone and done that. They go past police cars, they give their finger out the window, they throw objects at police cars, and they just wave goodbye. And it's even worse in the Logan area, Ray. An offender being pursued by police rang the police communications centre and said, the police are pursuing me and they're breaching their own policy. Get them to stop. We are becoming the laughing stock of the country. And as I say, Ray, you know, if you stay in Queensland as an offender, you can do as you please, but don't enter New South Wales because you'll be stopped within minutes. It just shows we've got it wrong in Queensland and the commissioner needs to show leadership. I'm tired. My members are frustrated because we want to stop these criminals and it goes against our grain having to let people go. But what happened the other day? They were in fear that someone would be seriously injured or killed through the manner of driving as well as committing other crimes. And what happens? We stand them down. It's a disgrace.
Well, of course, they put themselves at risk and maybe other people at risk, but they put themselves at risk for the greater good. They could have been killed in exercising their duties. But let me ask you this, Ian. If a police officer in the ACT, New South Wales or Queensland, you're confronted with the pursuit policy in Queensland, okay? They say, one, pursuit driving inherently dangerous. Two, officers should consider alternative options. And as I said sarcastically, what are you supposed to do? Get out the car and say, stop, police!
Yep, that's about right. Stop, police, and if they don't stop. And what annoys me, Ray, it's a green light for criminals to do as you want and operate in Queensland. But what it does say is, and I get from decent members of the community get stopped for an RBT or a minor traffic infringement. Mm. The law's keeping the honest people honest, and these people stop. But if you're a criminal, you've got a green light and do as you please. The balance is wrong. The community have had enough, and we need the police commissioner to step up and start backing the police and supporting the police because we've had enough. Does you want police just to sit in police stations and just respond? That's not good enough. The public don't expect it and don't deserve it either.
Well, I read a bit about him when he came to power under Campbell Newman, this commissioner. It appears that he's some sort of white knight out there and he thinks every cop is a crook and he wants to, you know, and he wants to... He didn't say anything in his opening address about catching criminals and calling it a police force. All he talked about was the fact that police need to be reined in here.
Yeah, and I had a meeting the other day with a very senior police officer. They just want to bring in draconian messages... measures to castigate and discipline police at every opportunity. And I'll be the first to say, Ray, my members make mistakes. They do their job, but they make mistakes. But they are acting in good faith, doing their job, and back them. It's a difficult and dangerous job. And what I'd probably suggest is the commissioner and a couple of others, it was that long ago since they've been on the beat, over 20 years, they've actually forgotten what it's really like and the world has changed. They need to get in touch with reality.
Well, I've just looked at the police commissioner's tertiary qualifications, right?
Yes.
I think he spent most of the last 20 years in universities. He's got diplomas, he's got degrees. I tell you what he needs, a bloody good dose of common sense. Get out there in a truck one day, Commissioner, and see what these young men and women have got a bloody well put up with.
And do what my members are doing, going to the university of life and seeing how it really is in dealing with real victims, and then you'll understand how people feel. And that's the frustration of my members. And I can tell you, Ray, I'm really angry over this and I'm frustrated. I've spoken to one of the police officers involved and he's absolutely gutted and he's nothing but a professional police officer.
Yeah, well, I'll remind the Commissioner, when he last spoke about this on this very radio station in Brisbane on 4BC, he said he denied that Queensland had an 8-pursuit policy. And then he went on to say, what we have in this state, we believe is probably the best pursuit policy of any jurisdiction and that we ask people to constantly reassess the risk. What a load of BS. That was after a bloke was chased for 154 Ks and the only time he got caught was when he came back into New South Wales where the coppers are allowed to do their job.
Yep, sends a clear message. You can do whatever you like in Queensland, but if you're a criminal, once you're in New South Wales, you've got problems. It is a disgrace in Queensland. We are the laughing stock of the country, and I'm big on law and order and about protecting decent people. And police have to make a decision, as they did the other night. They were in fear that someone would be seriously injured or killed as a result of possibly that driving. They had to stop them or commit further crimes. We've lost the plot.
Justification for pursuit. Pursuits are permitted only where officers have reasonable belief that an occupant of the vehicle, one, will create an imminent threat to life. Well, he's walking around with a tomahawk eating people in the head. What's that?
That's right. And, you know, it'll come out and another crime will be committed. Oh, that's very sad. Well, we should be stopping this, but we're happy to let, you know, that happen. Well, police aren't, but that's coming right from the top. And as I said, Ray, we could have had a police officer murdered the other day, and those people who'd taken the action against these police would have been at the front of the church mourning a loss.
Oh, Ian Stewart would have been making all the speeches about this brave officer losing his life and all the rest of it. And as I said, he appears to have spent the last 20 years of his life either studying by correspondence or attending university instead of being out on the road, finding out what the coppers put up with on a daily basis when you get north of the Tweed. Thanks for your time, Ian.
Thank you very much, Ray. Goodbye.
President of the Queensland Police Union, Ian Leavers. And you're pretty lucky in New South Wales. You've got Andrew Scipione looking after your needs, as opposed to Ian Stewart, who appears to be a most compliant police commissioner. I note that recently the recently appointed Queensland Police Minister said, no, we're not a police force up here, we're a police service. Well, thankfully, in New South Wales, we have a police force. Doesn't mean people go around belting people around the head. It means they have some authority, which they sadly don't have in Queensland. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. It's 17 to 10. It's good to have your company. Jerry is a former police officer in both Victoria and PNG. This is no pursuit policy. It's a watch policy. Another attempt to get Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley, because he was copper enough to stand up to criminals on Palm Island, who, of course, eventually burnt down the police station. It's the old story, dampening down the force to a service. What do they expect the coppers to do? Send the crooks a text or an email asking them to pull over? Perhaps a plea on Facebook would work. The public should show support for the cops, and it should continue. Well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are showing support, as they should. The farcical situation, says Kevin Ree, Police Pursuits in Queensland, reminds me of the old Monty Python skit, where a police constable is pursuing a criminal. He calls out, "Stop! Or I'll call out stop again." Keep up the good work. 131873. Margo's online. G'day, Margo.
Good morning, Ray.
Yes, Margo. Hello.
I'd like to talk about the lawyer for Peter Cowan.
Yes, love.
Who's paying him? On this high court business.
Yeah. I'd suggest that he hasn't got there yet. He's got to seek leave to appeal to the high court. But I'd suggest that the Queensland taxpayer's paying for it.
Well, that's crook, isn't it, Ray?
Well, I would think so, yes. I might be wrong. Maybe he has wealthy relatives. I'm not quite sure. But I would imagine that he's on legal aid or the equivalent thereof, and they're paying the bills.
Well.
Anyway, Margo, you sound indignant. I am. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Plenty of people wanting to have their say. The commissioner should step down, get someone else to do the job. This ridiculous inquiry, when it's over, they should give the police officers involved medals for bravery. Did the Queensland Police Commissioner and the New South Wales Corrections Commissioner come from the same school of not-so-hard knocks? You may well be right. It's 12 to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300-USED-CARS.
M4, delays continue around the Cumberland Highway as you make your way down to James Roos Drive. Fairford Road, still rather busy northbound over Canterbury Road on Stacey Street. Wiley Park, a breakdown. King George's Road, northbound, the right-hand turn under Punchbowl Road. Mascot, Southern Cross Drive, still very busy, city-bound. West of Yetholm, roadworks on the Great Western Highway, speed down to 40 kilometres. Port Macquarie, work on traffic lights. Oxley Highway and Finlay Drive and Castle Hill, a power failure. You'll find traffic lights out in the area. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Right now, police in Sydney have speeding drivers in their sights. And if you get caught, you could face penalties. So if you don't watch your driving, the police will.
Andrew's in Sydney. The City Westlink car in the middle lane westbound Norton Street intersection has broken down there. Thank you for that, Andrew. Anyone listening through 2GB, a car in the middle lane westbound at Norton Street intersection there. I did get another one as well from the City of Sydney because of that crook weather. Motors travelling in the CBD are facing significant delays due to the bus that has broken down intersection of George Street and Goulburn Street. The bus has broken down in northbound lanes of George Street, blocking eastbound traffic on Goulburn Street, so a problem there. I had a note and a call from an old mate of mine, Stan Keane. Fantastic bloke, Stan. I've known him for much of my life, and he reported to me that his wife, Shirley, who I love dearly, is turning 80 today. So many happy returns, Shirley, the long-suffering wife of Stanley. And they come up for 58 years of marriage this December. 58 years. Good on you, Shirley. Lovely to hear your voice as well, Stan. You sound just like you did at the family hotel about 40 years ago. I got a note as well from one of my listeners about his mum. Shane sent it in. There's a story in the Camden Narellan Advertiser today. For more than a decade, Senior Constable Chris Millman had been a well-known figure in the streets of Camden. An active and trusted crime prevention officer, she worked with community groups, schools and seniors helping do what she does. Now she started to hang up the police badge after 25 years. Senior Constable Millman said she'd miss the social side of the job. I'm going to miss the community events and the like. Well, thank you for the service of the state of New South Wales. I'm told she was first denied back in 1976 entry to the police force because of height restrictions. Well, that's no longer the case, so we're losing a very good police officer out Camden way. I mentioned the qualifications of the Queensland Police Commissioner, Ian Stewart. Now, people would say it's good that he's improving himself. He's been in the police force for 40 years. He holds a Master of Public Policy and Administration, a Bachelor of Business Qualifications. He's a fellow both of the Institute of Public Administration Australia and the Australian Institute of Management. He's a graduate member of the Australian Institute of Company Directors, which is really important if you're going to be a police commissioner, of course. But I like some of the things he said when he was commissioned. He's empowered the Queensland Police Service to redefine its service delivery model and therefore better meet the needs of the community through a heightened emphasis on frontline policing. The commissioner has implemented a visionary, holistic program of organisational renewal. Now, that should disqualify anyone from management. Anyone that stands up in front of anyone and says, look, I'm implementing a visionary holistic program of organisational renewal, that should be enough for the directors of the company to say, listen, old mate, you're not the sort of bloke we need. To convey an integrated service delivery model that meets community expectations and delivers value for money. The Queensland Police Service vision for a more outward-looking and engaging organisation will result to ensure Queensland is an even safer place to live, work and do business. Tell that to the people on the Gold Coast on Sunday who are getting hit in the head with a tomahawk. I mean, fair dinkum. He's got plenty of things to support him, but what he needs to do is on a Saturday night get in a truck with a couple of young officers and see what the poor buggers are confronting, because in between being a policeman, he's got a Master of Public Policy and Administration, a Bachelor of Business Qualification, a Fellow of both the Institute of Public Administration Australia, the Australian Institute of Management, a graduate member of the Australian Institute of Company Directors. I think he's been learning that often and that long. He's forgotten what it's like to be a copper out on the streets anywhere, be it Queensland, New South Wales or anywhere else. And welcome back. Second hour of the Ray Hadley Morning Program on this Friday morning. 131873 is our open line number. Good to have your company right across Australia through 2GB in Sydney, 2CC Canberra, 4BC, and of course we go all the way up to Townsville, way up to Mount Isa, into the central west, into the southern part of New South Wales, into Victoria. Good to have your company. Brian's at Nambucca Heads, where we also go. With the salary cap stuff, why can't clubs get someone who can add two and two? What's wrong with the idiots? Very good question, Brian. I've got no idea. But it would appear to be a stupid position that Parramatta find themselves in, given that they were warned by the NRL that they had a salary cap problem. A very funny photo has come to my attention out of Toowoomba, where we also broadcast to, from the Chronicle up there. A photo of a Toowoomba midwife's one-liner is latest internet sensation. If you haven't seen the post on Facebook, take a look. A photo of Ros Beard's car, and it's mymidwife.com.au. And across the bumper on the rear of her little car, it says, if I'm speeding, she's 8 centimetres. It's been liked apparently 10,000 times. For the uninitiated, when a woman's cervix is dilated to 8 centimetres, she's considered to be very close to having her baby. Hence, call the midwife and tell her to get there quickly. Funny girl, Ros, good on you. Hilarious, people are saying on Facebook. 131873. For LG, Longreach is another station we go to. They've got the biggest broadcast area in Australia, bigger than the state of Victoria. The Isaford Show and Sheep and Wool Show, rather, is on again. Gates open at 8 o'clock at Isaford. Entry is a gold coin donation to a local charity. Enjoy a great family day out. That's tomorrow. The best little show in the bar, Coo. The day will include junior judging, bush poetry, PJ's pet parade, dog high jump, Toot the Clown, buck a bull, the ute competition, whip cracking, fashions of the show and a crazy hat competition. And there'll be a special guest on Saturday night there. And on Sunday, get along to see, I think it's Steve Grace at the Droughtland Rain Tour. This will be a free community event, Edkins Park, Longreach. The barbecue will commence at 5 o'clock and the concert starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Bring a picnic blanket or chairs. Enjoy a great night of free entertainment up there. That comes from Laura Grant, the General Manager of 4LG. Thank you for telling us about that. And Kempsey, the mid-north coast of New South Wales, inquiries are continuing after alleged drug activity was discovered after a house fire in Kempsey on Thursday. Emergency service called to a Regent Street home reports the house was on fire 8:20 yesterday morning. On arrival, a three-bedroom wooden house well alight. A female resident escaped from the house uninjured after the fire was extinguished. Further inquiries led police to locate a hydroponic cannabis setup inside the premises. A crime scene was established. A warrant was applied for. A 20-year-old male resident of the house later presented himself to Kempsey Police Station. He was issued with a future service court attendance notice for enhanced cultivation of a prohibited drug. He's before the Kempsey local court on Monday, the 29th of June. Now, back in Sydney, Brett St. Inglebourne, he said, for goodness sake, and I agree with him, not just in Sydney, but at the Illawarra, the Sydney metropolitan area, and, of course, the Hunter and the Central Coast, put your headlights on. It's very hard to see. And there are many people, according to Brett, in southwestern Sydney, driving without the headlights on. So please do us all a favour and get the headlights on. 131873 is that open line number. Should you like to join us, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you'd like to have your say. Emails are plenty as well. Thank you for those coming in. Michelle Johnston from Cooma, 2XL. It's my mother and father's 50th wedding anniversary today. Wondering if you could give them a happy wish. Their names are Ray, that's R-A-E, and Terry Johnston from Cooma. Dad listens every day. Good on you, Michelle. Well, all the best to you, Terry and Ray, on your golden wedding anniversary today. 131873. Patrick from Penshurst in Sydney. I spent 32 years in the New South Wales Police Force. I understand how the Queensland cops feel right now. We endured all sorts of things with various deputy commissioners back then. One in particular, overschooled, little or no street savvy. We need coppers that understand what we put up with. Not what they put up with while studying. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Perhaps the Queensland Command is attempting to baffle with words. If it can't convince them, confuse them. Well, that media release out in 2012 about what he was going to do seems quite bizarre. The Queensland government, meantime, has reacted to this story, and you'd expect that they do exactly what they are going to do. Nothing. The Queensland government says it won't be changing the state's police pursuit policy after two officers were stood down. Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley and his partner, Senior Constable Barry Wellington, stood down from the southeastern Queensland region yesterday. Police Minister Joanne Miller is standing by the current policy governing police pursuits, which the police union has been campaigning against for some time. Well, this is the woman, Joanne Miller. I mean, she's still wet behind the ears as far as being the police minister is concerned, who thinks that it's a service, not a force. So what hope would you have? I mean, what hope would you have? I can't believe they didn't change it back to a force during the time of Campbell Newman. About the Queensland Police mission statement you read out, speaking as an ex-public servant trained at the altar of Sir Humphrey Appleby from Yes Minister School of Government, where if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you baffle them with BS. I can only say, having heard what you read, what an absolute load of crap. Support local police, don't oppose them. Wanted to say hi. We're currently driving to Toowoomba from Port Macquarie for my only niece's wedding, and the drive is going really fast listening to the program. We love you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Kylie. I hope the wedding goes well as well. 131873 is that open line number if you'd like to join us, 2gb.com. Now, that audio I mentioned earlier from after the Court of Appeal denied the appeal by Brett Peter Cowan, the murderer of Daniel Morcombe, I heard it on 4BC as I was arriving here yesterday afternoon. The defence lawyer for Cowan had this to say outside the court.
I quite had an expectation that the appeal would result in the orders that were made today. He's been quite realistic at every step in relation to what his prospects in the Court of Appeal were. He'll be very happy that we actually have a decision. We need to examine the decision of the court, the reasons for their rulings, obtain some instructions in relation to that, give advice to our client in relation to the reasons of the court, and that will determine what we do from here. He was realistic. The big question, which is the centre of this appeal, really is a matter for the High Court to determine rather than an intermediary immediate appellant court.
The question remains the Mr. Big undercover police sting.
Exactly.
What in particular is bad about it or concerning?
Without going through chapter and verse of the submissions we made to the Court of Appeal, we say that the police officers involved in this particular operation overstepped the mark, and that their illegality rendered the admissions inadmissible.
But essentially, this type of Mr. Big operation has never been tested before under Australian law.
It has. There's a High Court decision in the matter of Toffolau. We say that this is outside the scope of Toffolau, and that the High Court, if we receive instructions to go to the High Court, should reconsider the matter afresh.
How long did that process take?
A not insubstantial period of time.
Is he relieved to have it finally addressed, given that there were thoughts that it might be coming down around February and we've been waiting quite a few months for this? Has that taken its toll?
It has. He's very happy that we were getting a judgment from the court. He urged us to inform the court that his instructions were to have the matter dealt with as quickly as possible.
That's Tim Mean, the defence lawyer for this creature, Brett P. Account. And I mean no criticism of Mr. Meehan, who's doing his job. However, he said there was an expectation from his client of being denied. So his expectation was the Court of Appeal in Queensland would deny his appeal. He then said he's happy the matter's been resolved. Happy, I guess it's been denied. They're going to explain to him the reasons the Court of Appeal denied his appeal. And then they said the expectation, and it was rather, off-putting that he should suggest the Queensland Court of Appeal was some sort of process that wasn't worthy of his attention because it has to go to the High Court. Well, he's got to seek leave to appeal to the High Court, and the High Court may or may not give him leave to appeal to the High Court. But this is where it gets me. And I'd love to be able to talk to Mr. Meehan, but I probably can't, given that he will appeal this matter or attempt to appeal the matter. He said the police officers overstepped the mark. The admissions made by his client should be inadmissible. What, the admissions that he's a murderous, low-life paedophile and has been for much of his adult life. The fact that he should have been incarcerated many years ago for offences in Queensland and the Northern Territory. I don't know how Mr. Meehan occupies the same room as Brett Peter Cowan. I have no idea in any way how he absolutely is in the same room. My skin would crawl at being in his company. It would crawl. But Mr. Meehan would defend himself by saying, I'm doing my job. But Mr. Meehan, do you understand, in doing your job and trying via a technicality to get this man off by making the admissions he made to police officers, undercover police officers, inadmissible, that would mean that your murderous, low-life, pedophile client would be free to walk the streets. And I don't know whether Mr. Meehan's a father, but it'd be terrible if someone connected to the case, if their children were to be murdered, molested by someone who was let out on a technicality. And it's not a technicality according to the Court of Appeal. She was not persuaded of the trial judge's decision to include the confessions accounted to a miscarriage of justice. And of course it wasn't a miscarriage of justice. He wasn't compelled to tell those people what he told them. He thought they were fellow criminals, so he boasted to them about what he'd done. I hope he dies in jail. I note that he has his own outdoor exercise yard measuring 5 metres by 4 metres. He keeps to himself. Well, there's a very good reason for that. There'd be prisoners inside that jail in Queensland who'd rip his head off if they get hold of him. Despite Cowan's lawyer saying he was realistic about the prospect of spending the rest of his life behind bars, the source said he'd bragged the guards about being released. The source said he lives in his own little world. The 45-year-old can apply for parole after serving another 19 years, but even then, sentencing remarks by Justice Roslyn Atkinson kept in his file will remind the parole board he's an inveterate liar who will say anything to better his situation. But one day, a lawyer will explain to me how they go home and sleep at night for defending the likes of Brett Peter Cowan. I make no inference or suggestion that Mr. Meehan can't sleep at night, but I must admit, you must be special sort of people that the rest of us don't quite understand. Harbour Tunnel, Michael has called in Sydney. Insulation bats dropped at the entrance to the... Insulation bats. Well, remember the old days when we had the insulation farce under Kevin Rudd, and this happened almost on a daily basis across the streets of Sydney. There were insulation bats being delivered left, right and centre, and things were always being dropped, but not more recently, but in the wet and windy conditions in Sydney, the Harbour Tunnel, insulation bats dropped at the entrance to the Harbour Tunnel, which is northbound at the moment. It's 18 past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
And the M4, those delays continue around the Cumberland Highway down to James Roos Drive. Also the Anzac Bridge, very heavy traffic westbound in lanes 1, 2 and 3 down to the Crescent. At Cameray, slow traffic near Ernest Street on the freeway down to the Harbour Tunnel. M5 still under speed before King George's Road. As you make your way towards the Mascot area, you'll also find that Southern Cross Drive still very heavy city-bound. At Mount Pleasant, the smash Mount Ousley Road affecting northbound traffic. And west of Yetholm, roadworks on the Great Western Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Small businesses, you could now get a tax deduction for any assets you buy worth up to $20,000 each. So there's never been a better time to visit Officeworks and invest in your big ideas.
It's good to have your company. 131873 is that open line number. It's 22 minutes past 10. And Adam's online. G'day, Adam.
Good morning, Ray. How are you going?
Well, thank you, Adam. What's happening?
Look, I'm just ringing up because I thought I'd let you know. Myself, I'm actually a renal transplant dialysis patient. I'm on dialysis waiting for a transplant. And
okay, mate.
Myself and four other dialysis patients, we've actually started our own charity.
And what's that charity called, buddy?
It's called Kidney One, as in O-N-E, because basically when you have a transplant, you only get one kidney and you can actually survive on one kidney. So that's
exactly
where we got the name.
Okay, how long have you been dialysis, mate?
I've been on dialysis for about 7 years now, eight years.
Oh, God. So, and just one night or one day you get a call, do you, that there's a kidney available?
I could get a call at any time.
Okay, mate. So tell me what you're doing with Kidney One. What are you doing?
Basically, this Sunday we have a talent show / sausage sizzle fundraiser at Parramatta Park.
Inside the park itself?
Yes, that's right, inside the park itself.
Well, it's a big park. What part of the park, mate?
It's actually in the area right by the Rose Garden. It's called the Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
And it's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we're doing is we're raising funds for kidney transplant dialysis research at Westmead Hospital.
You're a good man. And you're being joined by your four friends who are also on dialysis.
Yes, that's right. And basically that's why we've set up the charity, because we're dialysis patients looking out for dialysis patients.
Okay. So near the Rose Garden, 10 o'clock, did you say Sunday morning?
Yes, or Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
And come along, bring a picnic rug or a chair and enjoy the music. We've got music playing. We'll have games. Bring some money for a sausage sizzle as well. So it's a good day out for everyone for a bit of fun.
Good on you, mate.
And you can find us on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/kidneyone.
Kidney One, okay. And that's Kidney One as in O-N-E. Well,
that's
done.
That's right.
All right, buddy, good luck. Give us a ring when things go better for you in relation to a transplant, okay?
Will do. Thanks
Adam. All the best to you, mate. Again. Well done, Kidney One. Just a battle. I've got a mate who's on dialysis, and it's a real battle for him. Some days are good, some days aren't so good. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. Jean's online. Good morning to you, Jean.
Morning, Ray. First time caller to a talkback show.
Is that right? You've never done it before. Well, I'm honoured that you've chosen me to be the recipient of the call. What can we talk about?
I have sons and a daughter in the Queensland Police Service, which I'd like to call forth.
Yes.
Why on earth are they issued with guns if they are not allowed to use them when they are needed? That is my question.
Well, it's a good question. I don't think any police officer in any police force, be it Queensland, New South Wales, the ACT, Victoria, on this east coast of Australia, wants to draw their service revolver unless they're being threatened or members of the public
exactly
being threatened.
Exactly right.
It's a tough job done by, in the main, very professional men and women, some of them very young. And I have a son who's also a police officer in New South Wales. It's not because of that. I supported police a long time before I became a police officer. But I think it's a really tough job. done in the main by really good people, and I think their commissioner, be it the commissioner in New South Wales or in this case the one in Queensland, need to actually stand beside them, not confront them.
And see what they do on a nightly basis. I have two sons and one daughter in the service, which I'd prefer to call a force.
Well, let's call it a force then, eh?
Uh-huh. And, you know, each night they go out, you think to yourself, what are they going to be confronted with tonight?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think every parent, every wife, every husband thinks exactly the same way, Jean. And we hope and pray that your three are safe. We hope everyone's safe. But what I'm talking about today is support from the Commissioner in Queensland for his officers. 131873 is the open line number, and it's a call that's being echoed by Ian Leavers from the Queensland Police Union, but not being supported by the Anastasia Palaszczuk government, who in many respects are simply as weak as water. One 131873. It's not the domain just of Labor governments. There was a Liberal government in New South Wales that had an Attorney General called Greg Smith, who would have been better defined as a Labor Attorney General because he was as weak as water as well. Thankfully, in New South Wales at the moment, we have a police minister, unlike the police minister in Queensland, who was a former copper on the front line, Troy Grant. He knows exactly what it was like to go through what Jean's two boys and daughter go through. He knows exactly what it's like. We have a police commissioner in New South Wales who's just extended his tenure, Andrew Scipione, who deals with the troops and has two sons who are police officers, young men who let their dad know, I would suspect on a regular basis, what they confront. In Queensland, we have a wet behind the ears police minister and a police commissioner who seems to be more intent on bringing police down as opposed to criminals down. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. You can pick up the phone dial number and have your say. Please don't mention my name. If you can let the two Queensland police officers that were stood down for catching criminals move to New South Wales, I'd be proud to work with them. I'm sure there are plenty that would be proud to work with them. I don't know either of the officers, but I'm told that they are good men. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon. Back to football. David has sent me a letter enjoying the show. Should I send this email that was sent under the current board in 2013? It amazes me how they're now deflecting the problem on the previous board. Now, why don't I just get this and scroll down because it's a fairly long letter, but it was sent on the 5th of July 2013. The 5th of July 2013. And I'll see who's at the bottom of it here. It's from the CEO at the time, Ken Edwards. And he was, of course, the CEO under the current board. Dear member, today we'd like to provide you with an update on the Pirtek Parramatta Eels recruitment and retention plans for next season and beyond. Our performances on the field this season have been tough on all of us, members and fans included. The results, da-da-da-da-da. We're in the market for top-line players. We have a plan and are moving positively towards fulfilling it. We are active and aggressive in our approach and will add to our 2014 recruits of Will Hopewadi, Corey Norman, Gareth Hock and Lee Mossop. In June, we made a tough decision, but it was done so we could all achieve our vision of delivering you the number one club in the greatest game of all. Your support and understanding has been largely positive and greatly appreciated. Having said that, it's important to note that the full disclosure can only go so far. We have players... we gave all players an undertaking. We would not be discussing individual players unless we choose to make their position public. We've honoured that commitment. Our decision to implement significant change to the playing roster for next season and beyond means that players have been allowed to go elsewhere. And they name a couple of players there. While the season has fallen short of expectations, circumstances have opened the door for a special group of young players to be elevated, and it goes through those young players. So it then signed for 2014 and beyond, re-signed for 2014 and beyond, on contract for 2014, and there's a list of players there. In fact, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 players, and then it lists a large group of players off contract at the end of 2013. And in other words, that was sent in July of 2013 when the current board was in place. They'd been in place since March when the decisions were made to release these players. And as a result, cost the club a stack of money to either pay them out or say, for instance, a player was on $300,000 at Parramatta and could only get $175,000 at the other club he was going to, be it Cronulla or the Roosters or anywhere else. Parramatta were then having to top up the contract from $175,000 to $300,000, being $125,000, because they'd cut him when his contract was still valid. So it's no good Stephen Sharp and others at Parramatta saying today and yesterday, oh, nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with you. Yes, the previous board were dreadful. I would say you, based on what happened yesterday, are equally dreadful. In the meantime, Peter, g'day.
G'day, Ray. It's Peter. We met a couple of nights ago. I'm George's dad.
Peter Corey.
Yes, it is, mate. Ray, I didn't get a chance to thank you that night, but we're so grateful to have you attend. You know, we're just normal people just trying to get on with our lives, and this unfortunate thing happened to our daughter.
Mm.
And, well, we can't believe that, you know, a person your caliber would just, you know, come and help us out. I just want to say thank you.
Peter, please, it's very humbling you should say that, but Peter, rest assured that anyone in your family's position, yourself and your wife Lisa, your two boys and your daughter, are deserving of anyone's help. I might just explain to our listeners, Peter's daughter, Georgia, and Peter, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, around Christmas time was diagnosed. She had a headache.
That's right, mate.
Wouldn't go away. What was next? What happened after she had a headache? Wouldn't go away.
Well, did the usual things, went to a couple of hospitals, and a couple of scans revealed that she had two tumours in her brain.
Mm.
We had one operation on the 2nd of January, which removed it completely, and we thought everything might have been all right with the second one because it's in a bit of a critical position, but unfortunately that grew 30% in about 3 weeks and caused her to have a seizure, which made it operable again, and that was removed, and, you know, late January, and since then she's gone through radiation. I think she had 30 treatments of radiation, which is pretty hard on an adult, let alone a little child or a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But she's come through that, Ray. What I wanted to ring you as well was we had the MRI on Monday, and yesterday evening we had the follow-up with a specialist, a neurosurgeon, and I'm glad to tell you that they see no reoccurrence of the growth. Treatment looks to have been effective. The radiation treatment and the chemotherapy looks to have been effective with her, and all doctors have kicked her off that everything's fine for the next 3 months.
Well, Peter, you must have been just so relieved, along with your wife and family, when you got that news yesterday.
That was fantastic. Funny you say that. I thought that's the first time in 5 months that I can probably have a night's sleep without getting up worrying. And I went to sleep, and my little son, Jason, I don't know if you remember him. He
little
got up
fella, I met him, yeah.
Yeah, he got up with a stomach ache and woke me up. So. I haven't had that full night's sleep.
Well, let me just describe what happened this week on Wednesday night. A mate of mine, Brooksy, he's got a smash repair business, happens to know Peter, and he said to myself and his brother-in-law, Mark, who's another mate, what are you doing Wednesday night? We said, nothing. He said, can you come along to a fundraiser for a little girl?
Fantastic.
So we went along, and I got to meet Peter and his wife and his three children, including Georgia, who's a beautiful young lady. I sat with her ballet teacher. and a lovely lady, and she was escorted by another lovely lady who told me she's coming up for 58 years of marriage, and the ballet teacher is her tap dancing teacher. So yeah. I had a fascinating night, and Jimmy Taggart, and the world's a small place, Pete. I went to school with Jimmy Taggart, and Jimmy is the same age as me, and Jimmy is one of those generous people who just goes to functions and does a whole range of things to help people that are less fortunate than he is. And when I got there, he said, listen, mate, now you're here, can you do the auction? And I said, yeah, of course I can do the auction. That's not a problem. So we peeled a bit of money off the people there at the El Phoenician restaurant at Parramatta. Very generous family owned the restaurant. I've been there. In fact, they reminded me I was at the opening 15 years ago.
Wow.
And then I went to another function there with my mate George Guitar, the late George Guitar from Dildam, one of our sponsors, about 9 or 10 years ago. And I was back there again on Wednesday night.
Thank you so much, mate.
Hey, mate, I'm, I've been thinking about Georgia and I've been thinking about you, and to actually get you on air today to tell me that the MRI Monday has given her 3 months respite as of yesterday is just the best news you could possibly give anyone, and I can't believe how happy you and your wife will be.
I am. We are so happy, and, you know, we just thank everyone that, you know, came Wednesday night. I thank your panel beater, mate, your restaurant owner.
Yeah.
Mate.
You know his nickname is, don't you?
No.
Call him Eyes.
Why is that?
Well, when he has a drink, his eyes close. Have you ever noticed when he's had a couple of drinks, his eyes start to swell up and close? He can't see, so his nickname's Eyes. And other blokes call him Dale for another reason. I don't call him Dale, but his Eyes is his nickname because his eyes close over.
Now I'm going to be looking out for that.
Yeah, well, mate, you look straight in his eyes next time you see him. If he's had a big night the night before, there'll be little slits there.
Oh, no.
All right. I'm going out with him tomorrow night. We're going to the Dutch Club. And I'm tipping he'll drink some Dutch beer at the Dutch Club.
God bless you guys.
Hey, Pete, I hope, and the night was to raise some funds for Georgia to have a dream trip to Paris, and I'm sure that'll, through the generous support of all those people there, that'll happen. But
it'll come true, yes.
It'll come true, that dream. But to get what you got yesterday, yourself and your wife and your children.
That's better, yes.
Well, that's Pete, he tells me, Robert, that you've lost a stack of weight. You've gone a lot greyer than you were back in January.
Yes.
Well, maybe the hair will return to its old colour, and maybe the weight will just come back on now that you've got the great news about Georgia.
I don't know about the weight, but the hair can come back.
Good on you, Pete. You're a good
man. Thank you, Ray. God bless you.
I'm delighted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, too. Thank you, too,
Susie. All the best. Thank you. Yeah, what a wonderful story, and I wasn't expecting that. Relatively happy ending. Look, there's a photo on the website at 2gb.com, and I've got to share this with you. I've mentioned before my PA, Sophie. Sophie's been with me for a decade now, for 10 years. And she's a quirky woman. She does some funny things. And she did the funniest thing that she's perhaps done in recent times. Bowen, have you seen the photograph on the website?
I'm just logging on now, Ray. Give me 1 second.
I arrived at the airport in Brisbane yesterday off the Virgin flight, and I went to the car rental place, Thrifty, and I said to her, get me a bigger car because I don't like the little cars. I'm 6'1", and I need a bigger car with more leg room. So the lady said, sign here, Mr. Hadley, and I signed a little form. She said, the minibus is... I said, the what? She said, the minibus is in the car park. And I thought, oh, it's a joke. Anyway, I drove from the airport to Brisbane and to 4BC in Brisbane this morning in a 10-seater minibus. She rented me a minibus. There were suggestions from my staff in Sydney that perhaps I should have done some Uber work and done a few airport runs this morning with 9 passengers on board to the airport to get a bit of cash back for the Macquarie Radio Network. I didn't do that. But there's a photo of me in the 4BC car park with my minibus. It is a 10-seater. Four, and two in the front.
It's one of those eye loads.
she's rented me a minibus. I was worried about whether it had fit in the hotel car park, the minibus. Anyway, she thinks it's very funny. She was laughing her head off about me being in a minibus. But there it is. That's the minibus. So go to rayhadley.com and you'll see the minibus that I will be driving to the airport again this afternoon to go back to Sydney for the continuous call team tomorrow. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. It's 21 to 11. It's good to have your company. 131873, Jordan says he's in Epping in Sydney. I've just got to say, Peter's news about his daughter brought a tear to my eye. These types of stories can really help someone put their own lives back in perspective. Cheers, mate. I was needing an inspirational story like that one right now, says Jordan, and you supplied it. Look, people have told me as well that we have at the moment still people in and around Sydney, Central Coast, without their headlights on. Will you please put your headlights on? Please. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Mark, g'day. What can we talk about?
Oh, g'day, Ray. How you going, mate?
All right, pal.
That's right, yeah. I'm on the Gold Coast here. I just wanted to know if you have any ideas of the Queensland, mighty Queensland Save Origin side.
Yeah.
When they're training, when they're training tomorrow,
okay,
or Sunday, I want to take my son there. Yeah.
Well, I looked at their training schedule, and we've confirmed because the weather's okay in Queensland. You can go to Pizzy Park at 5 o'clock today, which of course is on the Gold Coast. They've got an opposed session with the Burleigh Bears,
okay,
but you can go to Sanctuary Cove, which is where they're based, at 10 o'clock on Sunday.
Yep.
These are not autograph or meet and greet sessions. The players are obviously getting ready for Origin, but you can go and watch them, in other words. So it's not a matter of, you know, you'll be able to, you know, wave to them or look at them, but you won't be able to actually get an autograph or meet and greet because it's an opposed training session today at 5 o'clock at Pizzy Park, 10 o'clock on Sunday at Sanctuary Cove. It's a training session, but the kids are welcome to go along, but unfortunately there won't be the opportunity to get autographs from the like.
Oh, no, yeah, no, he just wants to have a squeeze of him, you know?
Have a squeeze. Well, mate, 5 o'clock, yeah, Masabo, Pizzy Park, Sanctuary Cave at the training camp, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, OK?
Good on you. Thanks, Ray. Have a great day, mate.
Thanks, mate. I know the Pete Lacoste Harbour, because I've got a few emails, getting the chance to go and see the New South Wales side as well. Plenty of kids on the mid-north coast of New South Wales are travelling a fair distance to get a sight of their heroes. 131873. Mike says, Ray, six of us heading from the Treasury Casino to the airport at 1 o'clock. Are you a chance of picking us up? Well, yes, I would, but I'm having meetings straight after the show until about 2 o'clock, Mike, so you'll have to get your other transport options done. Dionysia, back in Sydney, heard me talking about the bus. She's owned up. She said Sophie delegated the vehicle booking to her. She said this type of vehicle must have been automatically listed as one of the vehicles we've used previously. Oh, I see. So when the continuous call team need a bus, they get a bus. And so when I am here, not as part of the continuous call team, I get a bus. I think it's a smother, Dionysia. Dionysia comes into my office all the time and pinches coffee from our coffee machine. And I think that Sophie's rung up and said, I'll get permission for you to come in and take as much coffee as you like of your smother and tell Ray that it's your fault. I might also mention that I had another little problem myself. I arrived at the airport yesterday, having left home at about 3:30 in the morning, and I suddenly realised I didn't bring my little bag of clothing and toiletries with me. I just had my briefcase. And so I hurriedly went to Lowe's Menswear yesterday afternoon at about 4:30, and there's a Lowe's Menswear not far from where I'm staying in Charlotte Street in Brisbane. And went and saw the lovely lady there. Got myself three pairs of Reg Grundy's, three pairs of socks, and two shirts. Then across to Terry White Pharmacy, got some deodorant and toothpaste and a toothbrush. So I now have two lots to deal with. 131873 is the open line number. That was my fault, not anyone else's. Catherine's online. G'day, Catherine.
Hello, Ray.
What's wrong, Catherine?
Mate, you're in Sydney today, aren't you?
No, darling, I'm not. I'm in Brisbane, but it's bucketing in Sydney. Where are you in Sydney, love?
Well, I'm in Homebush Bay, Ray, and
you're not actually in the you're not in the bay, are you? You're not actually in the water.
Well, no. I'm in the Olympic Park side.
Oh, okay.
We're here for the baby and children's expo thing, you know, that they have every year.
Oh yeah, the pregnancy babies and children's expo. Yeah. Yes. Are you a pregnant woman?
No, I'm a grandmother, and I'm with my daughter and her baby.
Fair enough then, Catherine. You don't sound like a grandmother. You sound far too young, but keep going.
Oh, sure, Ray. Anyway. So the reason for my call, I suppose, is twofold.
Yes.
One, I'd like you to warn every mother and baby or mother and grandmother that's coming with babies to the expo, there is no shuttle bus to take you in the rain from the parking in P1 to the baby expo. You have to walk in the rain, which at the moment is sometimes torrential. If you want a shuttle bus, you have to drive to the other side of Olympic Park, which is probably, what do you think, Catherine, a 10-minute drive in your car.
Yeah.
And then when you get here, it's all open. There's no shelter.
No.
So, and you've still got to pay the same money. You know, they tried to charge me money for coming out of P1 when I couldn't get a shuttle.
And what did you say to them?
Well, I didn't pay.
Catherine, I was going to say you're a fierce competitor by the sound of you. I don't think you'd be paying there. I think they would have got short shrift from Nana,
Ray.
Catherine.
Well, darling, I'm sure there's something you can do about it for all the other people. It's on until Sunday,
right. We'll talk to the organisers, given that it's mums and pregnant ladies and grandmas,
right,
and all that. We'll see if we can get a...
That's right.
We'll talk to the organisers and see if we get a shuttle bus from P1 back around the corner to the showground itself, OK?
Do you know who's getting a shuttle bus from P5?
Who? Who?
The doctors.
You know who should be getting it?
Well,
the midwife, because let me tell you something now, Catherine. I've got experience here with four children. You pay the big fees to the gynecologists, or whatever they are, obstetricians, you never see them.
Yeah, but I don't think it is that type of thing. It's just a doctor's conference somewhere in...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And it's chosen to give them the bloody shuttle, not the mother.
Oh, damn doctors.
That's what I reckon.
All right, love.
Anyway,
let
I want
me
to warn those poor little mothers, and maybe you can make a phone call to whoever.
All right, we'll see if we can get a shuttle bus from P1.
The only person that could do something about it is you, love.
All right, love, we'll do our best. In the meantime, stay dry, okay?
All righty.
See you, Nana. Ta-da. That's Catherine. She's down there at the Pregnancy, Babies and Children's Expo at the Sydney Olympic Park Exhibition Centre. It's today till Sunday. So, look, I guess the organisers got caught short with all the rain, but if the damn doctors have got some sort of conference on there, we've got a shuttle bus from the other one, that we need a shuttle bus for the mums, the pregnant girls, surely. Surely. Anyway, we'll talk to the organisers and see if they can quickly organise one, if not today, tomorrow, if it's still raining as well. It's 11 to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
At Springwood, a smash on the Great Western Highway affecting westbound traffic at George Street. Now the M4 delays continue around the Cumberland Highway all the way down to James Roos Drive. M5 slow eastbound before King George's Road down to the main tunnel. Neutral Bay, some heavy traffic on the Military Road heading westbound towards the freeway. West of Yetholm, roadworks on the Great Western Highway. Speed down to 40 kilometres. And Port Macquarie, work on the traffic lights. Oxley Highway, lane 2 closed at Finlay Drive. Rain falling, slow down, put those headlights on. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Your participating Ford dealer is celebrating a happy end of financial year with great deals on a wide range of Fords. Hurry in before June 30. Conditions apply.
It's good to have you company. 131873 is the open line number. A serving officer in New South Wales says, I'll work on the truck with these two suspended officers any day of the week. As for the commissioner up there, I wouldn't follow him through a KFC drive-through. We're lucky in New South Wales. We have two great, tough frontline deputy commissioners waiting in the wings. They look after their troops. Great leaders. Good on you, mate. The best way to keep the winter nasties at bay is to fortify your immune system with a barrage of nutrients. Nature Bee gives your body the vitamins and aminos, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes and micronutrients that you need to help keep your immune system fighting fit. For extra coverage, there's another gift from the beehive called propolis. It's a natural antibacterial, antifungal and antiseptic property to help protect you even more. This week, when you order Nature Bee, you'll receive a bottle of propolis and Manuka honey lozenges, plus a packet of chewable propolis tablets. Call 1-800-147-009 for your 6-month supply of Nature Bee for just $99.95 and help support your immune system this winter. Or go to the website naturebee.com. Just a reminder, the third annual Slim Dusty birthday bash is coming up Thursday, June 11, in New South Wales, in Sydney, in fact, at Reedy Hill RSL. Amber Lawrence, Luke O'Shea, Travis Collins, and David Kirkpatrick, Ray Tanya Kernigan, I'll be emceeing the night. The third annual Slim Dusty birthday bash. Get your tickets from totalcountry.com.au. And it's an opportunity. Oh, Becky Cole's a special guest as well. An opportunity to raise some funds so we can open in the very foreseeable future, in fact, before the end of the year, the Slim Dusty Centre up there at Kempsey on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. It's good to have your company. A major emergency management exercise will be carried out in the Sydney CBD Sunday to test emergency management arrangements in case of an incident in the city. And the exercise, Sydney CBD, is a multi-agency emergency management exercise which will start at 9 o'clock in the morning and conclude at midday. So if you see things happening through the streets of Sydney, the CBD, on Sunday between 9 and midday, it's only an exercise. There is no cause for alarm or concern. And welcome back to the final hour of the Ray Hadley Morning Program on this Friday morning. And, of course, rugby league on tonight. Only the one game being played tonight, ANZ Stadium. And the split round, effectively, because we've got teams that have got origin players involved that aren't playing. Some are, because you can't do it for all of them. But in the main, they try to accommodate the teams that don't have origin players. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Having breakfast listening to the program, says Alan from Greystanes, wondering if you could do me a massive favour and surprise my sister, Lucia. She's 29 today. The weather outside miserable, but hopefully will brighten up her day. Lucia, happy 29th birthday, darling, from your brother and everyone here on the Ray Hadley Morning Program. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon. Just an update, Ray. The duck might not be in the car park today. As heading west on the M4, it was only when crossing the river I saw the mountains. Yeah, it's pretty wet out there. He's heading west today. You're right about that, but it is wet out there. I've just looked at some pictures coming in. 131873, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Gary's in Canberra. Ray, well done on your stellar show. It gets better every day. Thank you very much. There are rumours you've slipped back into the Channel 9 dentist chair. No. It hasn't happened, mate. No. My appearances on Channel 9 are restricted to my voice these days, basically, calling the football. My young bloke is in the under-12s for the Rouse Hill Rhinos, which is in the Parramatta Junior League. He loves the Eels, but last night said, Dad, I might find another side to support. Para are just a mess. Paul says, pull your finger out, Para. You're losing the important supporters, the little ones. They've had enough. Louise says, I love the term Reg Grundy's. Made me chuckle. I don't think Mr. Grundy was all that enamoured with reference to it. I think I've told the Reg Grundy story before, haven't I? Reg Grundy, the famous TV producer and Leviathan businessman who I think now resides in another part of the world. I think he's in Bermuda or something like that anyway. But he started life at 2SM as a football commentator and a boxing commentator, a sports commentator effectively. So he had, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, his 80th birthday probably in the last 5 or 10 years, and I got invited to his 80th, and I'd never met Mr. Grundy. And I thought it was strange that I was invited to his party down in Sydney, the big hotel, big flash place. And I sat next to Gary O'Callaghan, the great breakfast announcer from 2UE when I used to work there. And Larry Emder was on the table and a whole host of other people because Larry had worked on his game shows. Sale of the Century was one of the famous shows that, of course, he did. But he produced TV all over the world. Prodigious producer of TV, both dramas and also game shows. Anyway, I got told that Mr. Grundy wanted to meet me because I was a sports commentator, as I was then and am now, apart from what I do here Monday to Friday, and that I had a background similar to him, involved in sports commentary. So I thought that was wonderful. So I went along to the function and I never got to meet Mr. Grundy through the night. And the night went on and went on. About 11 o'clock, his wife got up and said, look, Reg has had a really late night. He wants to say goodnight to you all now. We're returning to our suite. And off he went, out the doors, up the lift. I was there for about 4 hours. I never got to say good day to the great man. But I did get told by someone that he didn't like references to Reg Grundy's. But given he didn't come and meet me, I thought, bugger it, I'll keep saying Reg Grundy's anyway. 131873. We spoke to a journo from the Courier-Mail about Brett Peter Cowan. He's either going through legal aid or his lawyers, and Mr. Meehan comes from that law firm, are working pro bono. So either way, they're either doing it out of the goodness of their heart or legal aid's paying them to do it. Kylie says, something wonderful happened to me this week. My son's in year 11, was given the task of reinventing an old tool for designer technology. He decided to turn an old mitre box into a small glass display shelf. He needed a piece of glass cut, so I looked up the local glazier, John from Ace Glass at Dural, who was happy to take on the small job. I gave John the dimensions for the shelf. I didn't know how thick my son needed the glass, so John said, look, I'll cut two pieces. He needed to take the pieces to Smithfield to have the edges polished. My son needed the glass by the following day. John told me to be ready later that afternoon. He'd drop it off on his way home at 8 o'clock at night to my home. When I asked John for a rough estimate and cost, he said, I can't charge you for a school project. John would not take payment, so I gave him a thank you note with some homegrown eggs, oranges and honey. I've told everyone about his act of generosity. Well, that's what a nice man. I don't know John from Ace Glass, but obviously he's a very, very decent fella. Good on you, mate. Well done. 131873 is that open line number. I'd like to take this opportunity, says John from Penshurst and Sydney, the Whistler Matildas. All the very best of luck in the World Cup in Canada. Yes, they had a big win last night over Vietnam. I think I said 11-0. I've just left the pregnancy and baby expo without going in, says one of my listeners. I'm alone with the baby and too much rain. But if you are with someone, there is a drop-off area if you're travelling with someone and they don't mind getting wet. They could drop you off and then come back a little bit later. I have it on good authority, says David. The doctor's holding an exhibition at the Dome in the building right next door to the Baby Pregnancy and Children's Exhibition. Shouldn't be too hard to track down a few of those obstetricians this weekend. For anyone travelling through central western Queensland, says Larry, around the 30th of May, not this weekend but the next weekend, the Black Toyota Tambo Cup is on at the Tambo Racecourse. Great day. First race at 1 o'clock. Now, we got this story this morning from our newsroom, Mount Druitt Local Court. Beau Mitchum from our newsroom in Sydney has gone to this court appearance. Now, I mentioned this story earlier this month. Police in Sydney's West have charged a man over the alleged sexual assault of a disabled woman on at Mount Druitt earlier this month. Between 1 and 2 a.m. Saturday the 9th of May, a 57-year-old woman was approached by a man while travelling on a train from St Mary's to Mount Druitt. The woman has a physical disability and is wheelchair-bound. Police will allege that after exiting the train, the man pushed the woman to a secluded area near the local library before sexually and indecently insulting her. Police were alerted. Officers from Mount Druitt LAC started an investigation. After some inquiries, a 43-year-old man was arrested yesterday. The Oakhurst man taken to Mount Druitt Police Station charged with aggravated sexual assault, aggravated indecent assault. He's before the Mount Druitt local court today, and that's why we have a reporter there, and we'll find out his name. What a dreadful, dreadful thing to happen. Ray, do you think Sophie will still find it funny considering she just nominated to rub the next lot of pain away before your next round of golf? No, no, that's not Sophie. That was Natalie. Natalie Peters. Natalie from the newsroom was the pain away girl. She was the one refusing to spray it on me. Story coming in from Val. There's a Channel 9 chopper